We want to be thinking today about this idea of religious unity. Religious unity. Now, what we have in the religious world today among those so-called Christian religions is not religious unity. In fact, what we have is a great deal of religious division. If you speak to many in the denominations today, they will tell you about how all of this religious division is really a blessing from God. You see, it is a blessing that God has given us so many different kinds, so many different types of churches to investigate and then choose from. And then an individual can just go out and investigate this church and see what they have to offer, and then go down to the church down the road and see what they have to offer, and just kind of shop around until they can find a church that meets their needs. In other words, a church that suits their lifestyle. Is religious division actually a blessing from God? Listen, what about those people in the world today who know nothing about the Bible? They really know nothing about God. They haven't been raised in a Christian household. They have never read the Bible, perhaps never even held in their hands a copy of the Word of God. And then suddenly they decide that, I want to know something about God. And so they go into this one church and ask them to tell them some things about how one gets saved, for example. And someone from that church will begin to tell them some things and tell them how to get saved. And then the individual leaves and he goes to another church up the street and goes in and asks them the same question. How do I get saved? And they tell him how to get saved, but it is completely different than what the first church told him. And then they go down to another church on down the road and ask them the same question. How do I get saved? And so they tell them, and it's yet a whole nother way. And so now they've been told three different ways to get saved. And that individual is confused. They're walking away scratching their head. Well, how is it that I get saved? I have three different answers there. Listen, my friends, the Word of God does not cause confusion. The Word of God was authored by God Himself, and the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as all in all the churches of the saints. God did not author denominationalism. God did not come up with denominationalism and then grant it somehow to man as a spiritual blessing. No, the Bible stresses the idea of unity. Even the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he certainly wrote the most number of books in the New Testament. And we learn that the Apostle Paul didn't teach something that led to religious division, but yet something that led to religious unity. If Paul promoted religious division, then whenever he went from one town to the other and from one church to the other, why, he would teach different conflicting doctrines in order to give everybody something different to choose from. See? And yet in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul made it very clear that he taught the same thing in every church. The same thing in every church. He said, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul didn't go around teaching all these different conflicting doctrines, causing religious division as if it was some sort of blessing from the Lord. What does the Bible have to say about religious division? How would the Word of God speak to modern day denominationalism? Well, I want to suggest to you as we come to the New Testament, three things I want to write on your heart regarding this idea of unity. Number one, we see in the Word of God a strong desire for unity. A strong desire for unity. John chapter 17 is a prayer of Jesus. The entire chapter is devoted to a prayer that the Lord uttered to His Father who is in heaven. And the prayer has as its theme the disciples of Jesus. Jesus is praying for His disciples. He prays for those who are serving him in his own day. But then he says, beginning in verse 20, going down through verse 23 of John 17, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Now, my friends, that's you and I. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the words of his apostles and the things that they taught and their testimony and eyewitness. But notice what Jesus prayed for us. Notice the strong desire that comes forth from his prayer. In verse 21, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Now, over and over again here, as you can see, Jesus prayed for the unity of his disciples. He prayed that they may be one. Now remember, he was talking to the Father in heaven. In verse 1, when he began this prayer, he said, Father. So he addressed the Father in heaven. And so he says here that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Now Jesus prayed that his disciples be one, or that they be unified, just as he and God the Father is unified. Now, here's a question that I want to ask you. Does God the Father and God the Son hold to various different doctrines when it comes to doctrinal issues? In other words, would God the Father believe and teach one thing on this one particular issue, and then Jesus the Son, God the Son, teach something completely different and contradictory on the same issue? Who can believe that? If anyone understands anything from Scripture at all about the relationship between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, they will clearly see that they all agree. They agree on every point. They agree on every issue. There is no disagreement. There is no division. There is no denomination. The Father agrees with the Son. The Son agrees with the Father. And the Holy Spirit agrees with both. Matter of fact, a chapter earlier in John chapter 16, when the Lord Jesus was promising his apostles that he would send to them the Holy Spirit, and he says about the Holy Spirit that he would guide them into all truth. In verse 13, verse 14 says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. And so what the Holy Spirit was going to be revealing to the apostles to reveal to the world was the very same thing that the Father believed and the very same thing that the Son believed, because the Holy Spirit was going to be receiving those things he was going to reveal from the Father through the authority of the Son. And so he was not going to reveal hundreds, even thousands of different contradictory beliefs and teachings on different things. Oh, friends, we see here in John chapter 17 in the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ a strong desire for unity. Those people today who think that denominationalism is a blessing from God, they're not expressing a strong desire for biblical unity. They are promoting division, religious division, and not only promoting it, but blaming God for it. But I want you to see a second thing. Not only do we have in the Word of God a strong desire for unity, but we have a solid demand for unity. A solid demand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we notice right away that the Apostle Paul is going to be addressing some very serious problems that had arisen among the brethren at the church of Corinth. And the very first one that he confronts is the idea, incidentally, of religious division. In verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 1, Paul said, "Now I plead with you, brethren." And then he says, "By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the statement of the Apostle Paul here has all the authority and backing of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Well, what was this solid demand? Well, he says here that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, my friends, that's pretty clear cut. That's a pretty plain and simple, to the point statement. It is a solid demand for unity. The Apostle Paul pleads with them in the name of Jesus Christ that there be no divisions among them, that they all speak the same thing. Now, is that true among the different denominations today? I dare say that if you go to one denomination and ask them what they believe in on the issue of baptism, they'll tell you. And go to another one and they'll tell you something different. Go to another one, they'll tell you something different. Go to another one, they'll tell you something different. Are they all speaking the same thing? Is there no divisions among them? I think you and I both know that there are many divisions among them, and they certainly are not speaking the same thing. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16, "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." And so over and over again, we find this solid demand for religious unity, not for division, but for unity. God wants us unified. We see a strong desire for unity in the prayer of Jesus. We see a solid demand for unity in the plea of Paul. And then we see a scriptural design for unity in the pattern Paul gives in Ephesians chapter 4. Where he says in verse 3, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Paul says that we don't endeavor to be divided, that we should not endeavor to forecast or to put our weight behind all the different denominations out there, saying that somehow they are a blessing from God. That's not at all what Paul says here. Paul gives here a scriptural design for unity in verse 3 when he said, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now that phrase, "unity of the Spirit," gives us the scriptural design. For what is it that the Holy Spirit did in the plan of salvation? God the Father sent His Son to the world. Jesus the Son went to the cross at Calvary and shed His precious blood for the sins of mankind. What did the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit revealed to us the Word of God. That was His Word. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, speaking of the gospel of God, Paul said, "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit." And then goes on to talk about how the Spirit searches the deep things of God. And then He reveals to us the things that He has learned. And so the scriptural design, all churches to be unified, is to go to the Word of God, the New Testament, the product of the Holy Spirit, and read it, believe what it says. And if everybody reads and believes just what the New Testament says, nothing more, nothing less, no man-made traditions, no man-made doctrines, no man-made creed books, everybody just sticks to the Bible and just believes it, guess what? We're all going to be unified upon the Word of God. Friends, don't buy into the lie that God is the author of division. God is the author of peace. And we see in the Word of God regarding unity, a strong desire for unity. We see a solid demand for unity. And we see a scriptural design for unity. Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and this message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. You can listen to hundreds of my sermons at our website, defendthegospel.com. Defendthegospel.com. Please come worship with us at 9 and 10 Sunday morning and 6 Sunday evening and 7 Wednesday evenings. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.